Am I introducing everybody again?
Yeah, you're
saying. Are we at the point where we should?
Yeah. We're always at that point.
That's true.
Yeah, you should do that every pod, I think.
Yeah. Fucking shit host.
No, you fucking host it.
No.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of League Pass and Chill, brought to you by Fallout 76, in stores now. Go ahead and buy that. We have. You should also buy that. I'm Olga Nulich. I write about basketball for foxsports.com.au. And as always, I'm joined by three others. There are five of us, you know, part of this crew, but I'm here with three of the others. Harrison Pullinger is here. Ted Smith. Guy Natelovitz is also here. We're going to talk about basketball, but first... When I walked into the office today, I had Harrison just call me over saying, "Hey, Ogan, check this out. Dwight Howard did a thing." I was like, oh, is he back from his buttocks injury? Not quite.
Oh, Lord.
Ted, did you want to explain the circumstances?
I mean, the first circumstance is, okay, so I was on Hip Hop Wired.
Very credible website.
Just your usual browsing spot.
Yeah, yeah. And I just saw a headline and it just made me question the integrity of the journals they got over there, because this is just not grammatical.
Go ahead.
Dwight Howard allegedly outed by gay ex-boyfriend. Now, first thing that jumps off the page, gay is redundant in that, because if it's Dwight Howard's ex-boyfriend, we can assume that they are gay.
That's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe.
Another one. Dwight Howard allegedly outed. He either has been or he hasn't.
I think we have... Do we have a disagreement here?
In the word alleged, just... We need to find another spot for it, because... Read the headline again.
Dwight Howard allegedly outed by gay ex-boyfriend.
So, like, the thing was, he was allegedly on Twitter... There is a person who's done a big old thread.
It's such alleging
certain things of Dwight Howard. This person has what he claims is evidence of this event. I'll leave it at that as far as describing it, I think.
Yeah, let's not go into now. The details. Like, if you want to find it, you'll find it. It's very there on Twitter.
It's in the it's the headline that we're saying.
Like bullying and stuff as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
So allegedly outed. The idea is that he was outed by this person.
Who is an alleged... Alleged, I think, needs to go in front of the ex-boyfriend
Who is an alleged gay ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
So we're all in unison that gay doesn't need to be there.
Gay redundant. No. Yeah. Okay. Pop Wyatt needs to...
Because that's explained in ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard is a male.
Exactly.
So it should say Dwight Howard, male. Allegedly, no. Dwight Howard outed by gay ex-boyfriend.
Allegedly? Question mark.
It's worse journalism.
Well, that's my point.
Like, you make your mind up.
So I think Gardy was saying Dwight Howard outed by alleged ex-boyfriend.
Yes, I think that is the Hip Hop Wired headline that we were hoping for. And this was, just by the way, this was the best way we could address the Dwight Howard situation, I think. Not actually going into the details, but just deconstructing a headline.
Just touch on it. Let you know that these kind of headlines are out there at the moment.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled.
I do think that there should be something in front of outed, though, because when it says Dwight Howard outed, it implies that the outed is legitimate. The outing is legitimate.
Mm. Yeah, no, there's a
lot of... You don't think Hip Hop Star can confirm this?
Hip Hop Wired?
Hip Hop Wired can confirm this just yet?
No, but I'll reach out to the author, Robert Longfellow, and we'll find out.
That's definitely a made-up name.
That's this man's name.
There's no way that's a real name.
That's alleged.
When you and then when you click, I'm sorry for completely dissecting this website. I'm sure there are legitimate people who work here and run it. But when you click on Robert Longfellow, it takes you to the author page of Alvin Acquablanco, who's the deputy editor of Hip Hop Wired, and whose recent stories include Rihanna topless in new Savage X Fenty holiday campaign.
God, that's a headline.
And Tekashi 69 put a $30,000 bounty of Chief Keef's cousin caught on video. Where
I'm like,
Was that?
She dated Ben Simmons, no?
Who's this?
Wasn't that Tekashi?
No,
Tinashe.
Wow.
Okay, so Tekashi.
I know those names.
That's
dude.
The funniest image in my head. Do you know who?
No, so this I don't know.
So this is Tekashi here.
Oh,
this is man with ink on face. And just a crossbody.
Who was the ex?
I'm
Tinashe.
Oh, okay.
It was like Tinashe, yeah.
Alleged model and singer.
Isn't Tekashi the male rapper also like definitely...
Well, in jail, right?
No, I think or he just skipped out in jail, but I'm pretty sure he's a convicted sexual predator.
He gets rubbished a lot.
Yeah, rap's in a weird way right now. You know, first like XXXTentacion and then this man. Like things, there are issues.
All right, should we talk about basketball?
Let's do it. Well, we were talking about Dwight.
Yeah, and, no, I know.
And we, as of course, as Fox Sports, we cannot confirm or deny the reporting. But it's something.
But
to
we're
keep
making some calls to find out.
I think we're criticizing and you know shining a light on interesting journalism.
Sure.
Yeah. Check it out. Nice. It's a good story.
To continue our basketball podcast, Kendall Jenner was at a game of basketball. Are we talking about this?
She was at
the Cavs Sixers game.
Yeah,
discuss.
So the first thing that came to mind was the Kardashian curse that's apparently out there.
Sure.
So I did a quick. I'll say a shallow dive.
just stepped in the water.
Yeah. Just dipped a toe, and I started it's going through the list of names that are, of basketball players that have been romantically involved.
Yeah.
With the Kardashians. So I want to do a quick quiz. See if you can get. Close to or all of the 10 NBA.
There's no chance.
Former
NBA players that have been involved with a Kardashian or a Jenner.
So this is an active and a past list.
Yeah. So we got Ben.
There's 10?
There's 10.
Okay, so we have Ben.
We got Ben.
Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, good Clarkson.
Jordy Clarkson, that was Kendall. Blake Griffin was also Kendall.
Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
James Harden.
Wait, come
hold
on.
Hold up. Jordy.
Sorry.
Wait, do you have your list?
Blake Griffin.
Blake. Who did you say? Tristan Thompson?
No, well, but James Harden.
James Harden was with Chloe.
Doing well.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson is currently with Chloe. Yeah. Cheated on Chloe. He's still with her. Has a child
while
with her.
While she was pregnant. What a guy.
While she was in labor.
Terrible human.
Or very close to labor.
Yep.
Well, but now they've rekindled their relationship and everything's fine.
Lamar.
Lamar Odom. Yeah, Tristan? I was going to say that.
What are we up to?
Tristan.
Lamar Odom.
Oh, Chris Humphries.
72
Daddy Humphries.
That's a great shout.
What are we at?
Former NBA player. We're at eight.
Have you marked off Lamar?
Who's your eighth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you name yours?
Odom, Humphries, Tristan Thompson, Jordan Clarkson, James Harden, Blake Griffin, Big Ben.
Wait, I don't know.
Oh, no, that's seven. That's seven.
That's seven. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like this person has been. I'm not sure. Chandler Parsons?
Yes.
Good. Really?
Yeah. He was Kendall as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. He's the reason why.
Damn, Kendall.
She's the reason why he sucks now, I'm pretty sure.
Man.
Damn.
He's been getting paid so much money.
Should we know any of
those? No, you won't. You won't.
Wait, give us some hints.
Okay. Has done. So one is a former Laker drafted by the Celtics. Has. Kind of a limp acting career post NBA.
Rick Fox.
Bing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was quick.
Who?
Chloe, I think. A rebound after Lamar.
Ah.
Oh, were they teammates?
That's cold.
I doubt it.
Would Lamar I'm sure cross
no, no, surely not. Surely okay, Rick would have been gone by the time Lamar got there in like 07.
10th was some dude I'd never heard of, Rashad McCants.
Yep.
Drafted four
shooting guard, ball. Really, really talented. Then not really, really talented.
Yeah. You decide
thanks,
why.
Thanks.
So that's did well. Did well.
We got there.
Pretty proud of my part.
But you look at that, like, it just looks like, okay, the Kardashians didn't have an effect on all these careers, but they hurt some. Hurt Humphries. Hurt Odom.
Big time.
Hurt Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson rebounded, though. When
he's a beast on the board.
Got 20 boards today.
James Harden got better once they broke up, like won an MVP.
So you either have to break up or fully commit to the relationship. Because that's what Tristan's under. Tristan Thompson is playing really well.
Fully commit? Odom really committed to.
Okay, you have to like legally commit to the relationship.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I would point out that the game that Kendall went to, the Sixers lost to
and
the Cavs.
Jordan Clarkson played super well though.
Mm.
And Ben had some like garbage points, but didn't play badly. Tristan Thompson also played well. So the curse.
He's been on a tear.
The curse is confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was a good quiz.
So, hopefully that doesn't happen to Ben. I mean, there's long enough left of his career if that relationship does end where he should be able to bounce back like a James Harden or something. But
I like how we're talking about this like it's a real thing.
Like it's happened already, but like let's hope he...
That poor man. He'll be fine.
Yeah, Kendall was sitting next to a member of like Ben's family too. So like that seems like a nice cordial relationship.
That's
I wonder if Mark L slid in with the Kardashians after college.
Ooh.
And no one knows and that's why.
Yeah. No, maybe he didn't commit to it.
There's a common thread with the NBA players. They do date outside of James Harden. They're all over 6'5", 6'6".
Okay.
I mean, James Harden's 6'5".
There you go.
Is Kris Jenner just like at the draft, just like taking notes? How does this work?
Mate, she'd have a deeper scouting book than most.
Kris Humphries was just by far the most random one. Mm. Like,
do what it is though. When you and world. We don't want to delve on this situation like just the Kardashians anymore. Too much. But Kris Humphries is the kind of guy where, like, you look at him, he's such a goofy basketball player, but when you just look at his face, he's a good-looking dude.
Yeah, but, like...
It's just really... Oh, Tristan Thompson as well.
A basketball
Tristan player. Thompson doesn't look like that coordinated of a player. He just grabs rebounds and is just like, rah, just cut out his face. Just a normal-looking dude.
Yeah.
Big ups to you.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't understand what that analysis was, but sure.
It's just because people just don't see...
Is anyone claiming that they're not regular-looking people?
I think lots of people would, because tall people are different.
Tall people are tall.
I'm aware of that.
But the we see basketball players on the court for the most part with other basketball players.
Right.
So they look normal when we see them on the screen.
True. And so, but then when they're not on the basketball court, they look almost superhuman.
Yeah. Like if you saw a 7-footer at like IGA this afternoon, go home and tell your housemates about it. You
know, yeah. True.
Massive dude near the potatoes.
He's got to eat potatoes.
How do you think he got so big?
He's got to eat potatoes. He needs hella calories.
Yeah. Fun story. One of my mates, he was down at
we'll decide that.
Pancakes on the Rocks, and they just finished a basketball game. He's 6'6". He's a big guy. And they got into a conversation with like this couple next to him because the guy sitting there was massive. Sean Bradley. So they took a photo with him. My mate, very large guy, standing next to him, came well below the shoulder. And they're all just kind of like huddled in together. He looks comically large.
Dang.
Yeah, like shouldn't fit in anywhere.
Yeah, just like he shouldn't have been on Space Jam.
Well, actually, funny. He's now talking to his agent about getting him in Space Jam 2 if it happens.
Well, he best have a good agent.
Is that like a breaking thing that you're... Did he tell this to your mates and that you're...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Breaking
they
news,
were like,
guys.
Oh, we heard Space Jam 2 was happening. And he was like, yeah, I've been trying to get into it. Because apparently those really tall guys have quite a few acting jobs pop up. Like some were Wookiees in Star Wars
yeah.
and stuff like that. So
yeah, Wookiees are big.
Yeah. Wookiees are huge.
So are basketball players.
Yeah, I like that we're breaking news here in League Pass and Chill.
Mm. Yes, yeah. Story up on foxsports.com.au.
Yeah.
Next hour.
Huge effort by us to go 10 minutes without talking about a single basketball.
If you're still with us, we promise we will get to the basketball.
Let's do that. Oh, we're not even. Marco Fultz, we've spoken about him a lot on this podcast just because his story just keeps popping up. It just keeps getting weirder and weirder and wilder and wilder. The latest is the reporting from The Athletic that he has a wrist injury, which I guess supplements his shoulder injury that we've all known about. This was after his agent slash lawyer, who we'll talk about later as well, wanted Markel to see a shoulder specialist and he'd sit out from games. And part of that Athletic report was also that he'd like a change of scenery. He would like a fresh start somewhere else. Is this compatible with a team that wants to win a championship, Harrison? Can they continue to go through this Markel Fultz drama?
I think the issue that I found with this story is I read it through and you hear that he wants to change the scenery. Why wouldn't he? He's copping so much flack every single game and he always is made out to be the number one pick that's busted, which is ruining the championship potential of the Sixers. Okay, maybe it's true. Why would you not want to leave that? So maybe he just said that in passing, like, I'd love to not be here and start fresh.
Okay.
Can't blame
I'll say this, but... everywhere I go, there I am. You know, like it's still going to follow him. Like he's still going to be Markel Fultz with a dodgy shot. I think what's interesting now that Jimmy Butler's there, this would have been a huge story. Like Markel Fultz saying he wants to change his surname. If it wasn't for Butler arriving, like it's kind of like not as of a bigger deal, but I don't think his issues will leave if he just gets up and changes teams. And I think him wanting out this early into his Philadelphia career is kind of related to what's going on in the basketball game. He doesn't look sure-footed on the court, and he doesn't sound sure-footed off the court either. But yeah, like we said, we spoke about him heaps. So,
yeah, look, he's the kind of dude that, like you said, it hasn't been as big a story, you know, for us because the whole Jimmy Butler thing happened, and we're looking at this team and this big three or whatever. But I feel like in the 76ers organization, it's probably bigger because now they have this big three that has expectations that the former team didn't have, and they have to deal with this situation. So, like, they've got to be thinking about whether this dude is a part of their future or not. That's a conversation they have to be having.
I think the just back on the point that you were talking about, Ted, where his problems will follow him anyway, is I think if he moves, he will eventually not be the number one pick that is now a bust, and he will be Markel Fultz, a lot of talent, just got to fix some issues. Like, I think that does happen and that will evolve, and I think that change of scenery could be really good for that whole image where it's not like, oh, well, Philly could be a championship team if they took Tatum.
Yeah.
If they took Mitchell. Move, get out of there, get fresh, and I don't know.
What about, like, Jahlil Okafor, though, who went through his issues in Philadelphia, moved, hoping for a fresh start, didn't happen, moved again, still didn't happen. He's still not a good. I get it's a bit different because the big man is becoming not obsolete, but a big man with like just his skill set is not that useful in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a similar situation there.
Yeah, I'd be happy for Fultz to move just so, you know, we can talk about something. Because then he'll just be a bench player with a shoulder injury.
Mm.
But in terms of him improving, I can't see it happening until he sorts himself out.
What do you think, Gutty?
Look, I think the whole move teams because I can't figure it out in Philly thing, it might help, but it's also a weird way to approach the problem, and I feel like it's part of his whole problem in general, is that, like, for him, he as we've said so many times, he's still super young. Like, it's not too late for him to turn this all around. However, running away from the problem seems like a strange way to start addressing what needs to get fixed. So, look, he might go to somewhere like Phoenix or something, and in the short term it looks better because he's getting more minutes, getting more exposure, less pressure, all that stuff. Whether that eventually turns into him becoming the player he was supposed to be or not is still, I don't know, remains to be seen, I guess.
Yeah, he keeps doing this thing where he has issues and then puts band-aids on these issues and doesn't really fix them. Like the jump shot. This is like just a big old version of the jump shot.
Exactly.
Where he could just go out and fix that thing, but now he's just taking the easy way out by just hot potatoing it between his hands. Like, it might work in the short term, but just in the long term, you're not getting better.
Nope.
So next.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about Markel Fultz
for
the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that works. So let's talk about something positive then. The Bucks are clicking. Better than what I thought. I didn't buy the Giannis hype initially, and now I'm eating my words, because Giannis has been balling.
Mm-hmm.
Eating your souvlaki.
Wow. Yes.
Because he's Greek.
Yep.
That is correct. you got me. I thought that was like because I'm a Turkish person. I thought that was somewhat insulting. No. Not at all. Today the Bucks picked up a big win over the San Antonio Spurs. Giannis again with just a monster line and near triple-double, but just dominating every facet of the game. Are they legit now? Are we able to say that they're at that tier of teams?
I think so. Yeah. I think for a while, most people have appreciated the talent on their roster, and even the start of the season, people going like, all right, it's all clicking right now. It's all going well. Like, we obviously have to wait and see what it turns into throughout the season, but they've obviously got enough talented pieces. Game like today when they're down, I think it was 11 points in the fourth quarter, is a game where these young guys, these like relatively unproven dudes, some of them, It's kind of put up or shut up, and a lot of the time these sort of teams can't figure it out at the death, like closing out games, especially against the San Antonio Spurs team coached by Greg Popovich. But they turned it on. They put 40 points on the Spurs in the fourth quarter, and they're a team that's finding ways to play winning basketball at the end of games where they've struggled with that in past seasons. So they've got the talent and then now kind of got the experience and the know-how to actually win a bunch of regular season games when maybe they shouldn't have, win those games where they weren't at their best.
Yeah, I think they're a really, really good regular season team in that they play fast, they shoot threes, and they just kind of go, okay, we're going to beat you off the court and we're pretty deep. But when we get to the playoffs, that gets a lot harder. Defenses take more time to adjust, but you still got Giannis. Who, like, what do you really do as a opposing coach stopping a guy who's 7 foot, takes three dribbles between the length of the court,
yeah,
can dunk anything?
It's kind of cool that he's dominating the way he is when there's so much buzz around the three ball, and you know, the best young player doesn't even worry about it shooting. I think it's close to his worst three-point percentage in a couple of years. But one thing the Bucks are doing, they're forcing more teams off the three-point line than any other team, like forcing an extra pass or teams who come in for the mid-range. And they're scoring more points than anyone else in the paint. So, and also the coach, how do you say his name? Budenholzer?
Budenholzer.
But like he won, I think, close to 65 games with that Atlanta Hawks,
team. Dang, yeah.
Right. So you put that guy, the coach that's capable of that, with that Hawks team, which was an okay team, a younger Korver, Al Horford. But now he's got the Greek Freak with a dude that is proven to be a successful regular season coach. They've improved so much from this point last year when Jason Kidd was spilling water on people on the sideline. they were flirting with 500 almost all year last year. And now they've only lost a handful of games. But forcing teams away from the three ball, which is what they do in defense, I think that's why they beat the Golden State. You know, if they can get to the finals, I know we're a long way away from that, yeah, around the quarter mark of the year, they might have a recipe that can really ruffle some feathers.
Yeah, because they're so long, they're so switchable. Like nearly everyone on that team can switch. And then, like you were saying, Harrison, they can score the ball the way they can. If they can, they did that last week as well, where they blew up. They just exploded for 40 points in a quarter. I feel like if they can do that and then defend at the high level that they are.
Yeah.
I mean, are we maybe naive, or is it maybe their lack of experience that us saying that maybe they're not a playoff team?
They were meant to take the leap two or three seasons ago. It was always, yeah, Milwaukee's going to be the team that'll take the leap and they'll be like that next East team coming through. Coach Bud's just found a way to actually utilize former Rookie of the Year Brogdon. Bledsoe is playing really, really well. Lopez is shooting everything. Chris Middleton is an all-star. Giannis is unbelievable. He's found the recipe, as Ted was saying, to put it all together. They're taking that step that they were meant to take when Jason Kidd came over. And then they were meant to take the second year Jason Kidd was coaching them. Now they're there.
Yeah, I don't think you speak to any frustrated Milwaukee fan over the past couple of seasons, and I don't think there was ever a doubt over the players they had. It was always like, we play terrible basketball.
Yeah.
We play basketball that doesn't make sense with the personnel that we have. And Bud's come in and he's been like, all right, we're going to shoot threes. We're going to have a bunch of dudes around Giannis that shoot threes. A guy like Brook Lopez, whether he's making the three or not, he's taking a big out of the paint, and Giannis is the most dangerous guy going to the rim, and now it's a bit easier for him as well. So it's kind of, as you said, it's a winning recipe, and winning recipes work in the regular season when teams don't have heaps of time to game plan and work all that stuff out. So for now, there's no reason to suggest that the Bucks are going to slow down, at least.
They're averaging 120 points a game.
Right, so 120 points a game.
Not bad.
They're allowing just under 110 points a game. So they have the best differential in the NBA by far. And something that, so you're talking about, you know, recipes to succeed. I wonder, have GMs just decided, have they figured out yet that getting rookie head coaches who have no coaching experience to lead a team is just not a good way to build a franchise?
Ooh, tell that to Brad Stevens.
Okay.
But no, as in
500 Celtics.
That's very not what I'm, no, as in like, so no, Brad Stevens coached at the college level for a good amount of time.
So you're talking about someone who's never
Jason Kidd. I'm talking about Derek Fisher. If you coach at the college level, I think someone like Jay Wright, I think could be a good NBA coach. I think if you got like John Calipari or Krzyzewski or like Shaka Smart even, they'd be good NBA coaches or at least NBA assistant coaches. Does anyone actually think that, let's say, like a Rondo could just straight up go into coaching and be good at it, or a Chris Paul, or even a Steve Nash, someone who really hasn't had, you know, time on the sideline?
Well, when you say those names, you're like Rondo.
Rondo, yeah. I understand.
No, you're like, yeah, mate.
He'll punch a player.
A lot of journalists that are close to Rondo say he's one of the most intelligent people in basketball.
Totally.
So it wouldn't surprise me if someone like that turned into a good coach. And my reflex reaction is, maybe Rondo could do it. But if someone told me Jason Kidd's going to coach his second year out of the NBA, I probably would have had a similar feeling. Like, Jason Kidd is the man. He could easily do that.
I feel like that's just judging on emotions, though.
Yeah.
This guy was a really smart point guard. And
what kind of player they are. You know,
sure.
Because they're good organizers on the court. So you think that could translate to coaching. And maybe it could. Maybe Jason Kidd could come back. You know, we fail our way to success. You learn along the way. But, yeah, it does look tough.
Yeah, I just think that the guys who have been more successful are your Budenholzers, who's exactly. The Papa Disciple, and, like, Steve Kerr as well.
And those dudes are available, right? The guy who won Coach of the Year last year was on the free agency market in terms of coaches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So why would you take a risk on a young coach when there's that caliber of coach out there?
Right.
Penny Hardaway is going to kill it, though, when he gets to the league. He's coaching in Memphis.
Yeah. He just got the number one player, 2019 number one player.
Yeah. To commit.
Big ups to Penny Hardaway, who's like a legitimate college coach as far as like coaching and recruiting. We spoke about that game that Kendall Jenner attended before. That was the first of a back-to-back for the Cavs. They then went and... So they beat the Sixers. They then went and beat the Rockets, who didn't have Chris Paul, but it's still the Cavs and it's still the Rockets. Are we buying into this at all, or is this just a fun little honeymoon situation for these?
I mean,
these Cavs.
One of the most ridiculous things I've ever said, I tried to predict, I said the Cavs would be flirting with a playoff spot around the Christmas period. Way off the mark. But at least,
you think you've got some hope now?
Yeah, there could be my momentum building in Cleveland because these two teams are beaten. We all joked about Tristan Thompson saying that, pointing out that they are the Eastern Conference champions heading into this year. Well, they just beat two teams with finals aspirations. Like the Rockets, they want to get there. Yeah. Sixers, they backed themselves. Now they've got Butler. But can you take those teams seriously when they're losing to Cleveland? But I will say that the Philly loss was the day after Thanksgiving. And if you're having Thanksgiving knowing you're playing the Cavs the next day, yeah, maybe you're having an extra beer. Extra turkey.
Look, like,
extra sweet potato pie.
I'm all happy for Cleveland getting a couple wins, but like this means nothing. Like, this means absolutely nothing. Not for the Sixers, not for the Rockets, and not for Cleveland. Like, those results are kind of just outliers. It happens in the NBA season. Yeah. The Cavs,
because it's back to back. It's making us think, like, oh, maybe.
Also, though, let's not.
Is Katie Osman an all-star? What?
But let's look at the future and go, you know what? Colin Sexton balled out today at 29 points.
Yeah.
And maybe that's
something as well.
23 versus Philly, 29 against the Rockets. Maybe that's something which Cavs fans can look at and be like, eh, we might be okay. Because if he takes a De'Aaron Fox type leap in year two.
Yeah.
Who knows? You could have a really, really good player on your hands for the future.
It's kind of like what Ted's always been preaching about the Hawks, where you've got this team that's not good, but you've got Trae Young, who's an interesting prospect. You've got Vince, who's doing whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
So, like, this Cavs team, you know, for a lot of the season, it was just like, oh, I just want LeBron back.
Yeah.
And, like, Kevin Love got injured and whatever. Now it's like, oh, Colin Sexton might be a legitimate, like, basketball player.
Yeah.
So I was a kid in the 90s, and old people, parents included, used to freak out about graffiti all the time. Like, it was a public talking point, right? Now it's just part of society. Like, it's the same with tanking and NBA fans. Like, teams used to, like, fans used to get their feathers ruffled if they worked out a team was tanking. But now, a large part due to the process at Philly, it's just part of the cycle now. So if you can give your fans a reason, an excuse to get excited and watch the game, like a Trae Young, like a Sexton, probably like a Doncic, although the Mavs are at 500.
Because Doncic is that good.
Yeah.
Because
did you see him fake out Wiggins today?
Yeah.
He's got 1.1 on the shot clock. And he's got, I've got enough time for a dummy. Throws it. He's good.
He's so good.
He's really good.
Team Doncic, all of us.
Doncic or Aiden, who's going to be the better player?
I think Ayton is the better player now, and I think he will continue to be. I just don't think we're talking about Ayton, even though he's. I swear, every time you see his box score, he's dropping like 20, 10, and 5 assists. Mm-hmm. But no one's talking about it because no one cares about the Suns.
Yeah, and
I disagree.
But Doncic came into the NBA with like a narrative.
You know? DeAndre was like the number one. DeAndre Ayton was the number one pick.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic was just like, oh, can he make it out of Europe?
It's bizarre. But he was a 19-year-old EuroLeague MVP.
Yeah.
Like, that's a storyline.
He's the enigma.
He's phenom. You walked into that Mavs team as this rookie where people were like, some people were like, no, he's a superstar. Some people were like, he's never going to make it in the NBA. Yeah. And he's like, he's the best player on this Mavs team, which has a bunch of really good players
on
it.
Harrison Barnes. But Dennis Smith was meant to be the guy. And now Dennis Smith, no one cares about.
But like everyone,
you don't even care
enough
to put a junior at the end of his name.
Sorry.
Exactly.
But don't stolen that franchise. Yeah.
Seriously, though. But it's like, it's working. Yeah. Like they're 500 and their best player's a rookie and he's so exciting.
Yeah.
And he's going to keep getting better and be better than Ayton, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm in on Doncic.
Who is the wankier connoisseur of basketball? The person who said, Luka Doncic is going to be an amazing player because Europe is such a great level. Or is it the person who's just like, he can never make it in the NBA because Europe's not a great level and is a different kind of athlete?
Look, I feel like it's definitely not the person who's like, it's not going to work in the NBA because you might be a wanker for a different reason if you said that, but like, it's not like wanky.
Yeah.
It's just being like, I don't know, one of those weird dudes that are like, it only works if you are big and athletic and you can run really fast.
Yeah, like I follow a lot of Euro people on Twitter, as far as like people who cover Europe, and so many of them, just every time Luka Doncic has a good game, it's just like, see?
Yeah, no.
Look what we've told you.
That's wanky. Every time he has a good game, you're like, I told you Luka was good.
And they'll quote, he's not fast enough for the NBA.
From 2015 when they're like, Luka's going to be a star. Yeah, nah, he's great.
I still think DeAndre Ayton is going to be a better player, though. Just I think he has the potential to be very Joel Embiid-y, I think.
Mm.
Not the same like physically, but just skill-wise, I think he's has the potential to be more skilled than DeAndre Ayton.
I think definitely be a conversation over the next couple of years. I think people keep looking back and being like, oh, Doncic, though. Ayton is still balling, though. Like, I think it'll be something which will split people for
a couple of good drafts in a row, by the way.
Yeah, especially because now De'Aaron Fox is doing what he's doing.
Mm.
Like, he's joined the, you know, I count Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum and Kyle Kuzma in that group of, like, really, like, that's a good.
Yeah, one's doesn't fit.
Kyle Kuzma had a good rookie year. Now he's existing in Los Angeles.
Kuz.
I like Kuz. Yeah.
Him.
Last point to touch on very quickly. Actually, you know what? We're not going to, because we're probably going to discuss this in the next portion of this.
Tease.
I'm a tease. We're about a quarter way through the season. We're also about halfway through the podcast, which means you should probably take a little break, head to your favorite electronics store, and go and buy Fallout 76 because it's the best game on the market today.
Only if you like fun. If you like
obviously.
Yeah, you should go out and buy
it. If you don't like fun. Go and buy Fallout 76 and discover what fun is, and you'll probably like fun after that.
God, we're good at this.
Yeah, good job.
We're so good. any electronic store will probably have that. We're not going to plug any of those. It probably rhymes with like.
Not yet.
Like, never mind. Fallout 76, go ahead and buy that. We're a quarter way through the NBA season.
That's scary.
Yeah. So us here at League Pass and Chill decided to run through who we think are the winners and losers of the season thus far. Again, the pretext is that it is still very early. So much can happen from here until June. I'll say April because that's the playoffs. But, you know, so much has already happened. We've gone through feuds. We've gone through so many iterations of Fultz doing his thing. Teams who are good that weren't supposed to be and teams who are trash who weren't supposed to be. So we'll start with Ted. We'll start with your winners. Let's start positive.
Okay. Potentially boring pick. I'll put that out there first. But
please stay with us, guys.
Wait.
Way to sell yourself there, Ted.
it's Chris Wallace, the GM from the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, the reason why he's a winner is because all the stuff I was listening to coming into this NBA season about the Memphis Grizzlies was that it was time to blow that team up because their two stars are aging, didn't make the playoffs last year, and the first time in, like, I think it was seven or eight seasons. But that was the chat for the Grizzlies to blow it up, rebuild, see what they can get for their two older dudes. But now the Memphis Grizzlies are sitting in second in the West, third overall. But it's also good to see that they can go against the flow of the NBA in terms of scoring. They score the fewest points per game. Yeah, the fewest points. They score the seventh fewest amount of three-pointers. In 2018, you'd think that would hurt you. But like I said, second in the West and third overall in the NBA. And just before we switch it, those two aging stars, Gasol is averaging 17.6. That's his second best of his career. 9.8 rebounds, that's the best of his career. And Conley is averaging 20 points, second best of his career, and third best assist total of his career at 6.3 a game. They're both balling, and they're a team where you have to come prepared every night because Memphis will. Yeah. Like their veterans are going to be involved in every game, and if they can keep on sticking it to them.
You know what's crazy as well with Memphis is that we're a year removed from when Mike Conley was out the season. Marc Gasol last season.
Is he requesting a trade or was he?
Marc Gasol was just the most unhelpful NBA player. He was like, I'll be here. I'll play like sometimes, like, but I'm not going to try.
I'll do the Connor walk sometimes
too.
He's
so talented. Yeah. And you're seeing it this year. And like, obviously the Memphis Grizzlies have been like a playoff staple for the past few years. It was last
Gasol,
season.
Randolph.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, people were kind of weirded out when Conley got paid that massive contract. I think it was a couple of years ago now, but he's come back into this team. They're smashing it in the West, and like, he's a superstar in the league. Just not really, I guess, because no one watches Memphis.
And, yes, they do. I was just about to say, guys, get on watching the Memphis games. If you like basketball and if you like 90s basketball, watch the Memphis Grizzlies play because they will go so slow and they will set up an offense in which five people are moving. Like, I get so sick of watching the Golden State Warriors, for one, where they isolate one player, like Kevin Durant isolate on the wing, and you've got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson watching him. That annoys the hell out of me. Rockets do it all the time. Cavs did it with LeBron pretty much the whole finals against the Warriors. It was just, I'll give the ball to LeBron and play him 48 minutes of just in isolation. All right. Their whole team is moving in the five-man offense. And then they're a bunch of old people, yet they are sprinting back on defense. They're setting up their defense before a team gets a chance to jack up a shot. The Memphis Grizzlies, I've watched a couple of their games. And they are like, I really, really enjoy watching them because they just grind out wins. And Jaren Jackson,
he looks great.
Yeah. He
looks really good.
Watch his progress because he's starting to find himself. He had a lot of foul trouble early, and he has had 20 points in the last five or six games.
What school is he coming out of? Do you know where he went to college?
I want to say Michigan State. This is my complete guess. Yeah. And it sounds about right.
Yeah. He's an awesome defender. He is just like, he and Marc Gasol are clogging the paint, and he's a really, really talented offensive player. And him running a pick and roll with Mike Conley and also with Marc Gasol, which is a weird thing to see 2 7-footers playing in a pick and roll. Jaren Jackson is going to extend the life of Conley and Gasol in the NBA just because he can do so much. He can make up for the like slower bodies, and he brings so much offensive.
Huge raps.
Yeah.
They'll be in the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
Big time.
And you would not want to play them for seven games.
No. They just know how to prepare for every night. Yeah, I mean, if those two players are fit, and you know, with the addition of Jackson, of course, it shouldn't be a surprise that they're a playoff team. Last year, I think, was an anomaly, a bit of an outlier, but they're all the time. And bada bing, bada bam, Michigan State, well done.
Yeah. Last point on the Grizzlies before we move on. We wrote a little bit about them this weekend in our NBA rundown. Head to our website, foxsports.com.au, and check that out.
Mornings.
So Marc Gasol is my sneaky, not front runner, but I think he's in the conversation for MVP just because of what he's doing. He's got the best real plus minus in the league, which is really, really impressive. You've got a team that's really, really switchable. So think about Carl Anderson, think about Jaren Jackson Jr., think about Garrett Temple. These are just really long guys who fit. This team is really nostalgic too. Do we remember watching these Western Conference semifinals games back in like 2012, 13, where you've got Zach Randolph just bodying Tim Duncan in the post, and you've got every Grizzlies fan shaking like a white towel or something.
Yeah.
Those were the best playoff games to watch. And then finally, I think we mentioned this earlier, they score the least amount of points in the NBA. So they're completely just bucking the trend of you've got to score lots, you've got to shoot a lot of threes, and you've got to run to be successful in the NBA. They're doing it all in the old-fashioned way. Whether that lasts, as in through April and May, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But it's working right now, and it's fun to watch in a way that's not necessarily modern.
Hopefully,
and
I think that's a nice healthy thing. I think if they stay healthy, I think they'll keep grinding out wins. But yeah, if Gasol and Conley can stay healthy, they'll be fine.
Gutty, who's your winner? One of your winners at this point in the season?
Well, we're talking about a team that's succeeding doing the old school things right. Well, my winners are just Sacramento fans, just people involved with the Sacramento organization, because they've just gone through a rough time, an organization run very poorly. But things are like looking good. They're playing such fun basketball. They lost today to the Golden State Warriors, but they looked good in their loss. They have like De'Aaron Fox, as we've discussed, has taken a jump into a dude that we're like, okay, this guy's like could be a legitimate star. Buddy Hield, Willie Cauley-Stein, Bagley, Shumpert, Bogdanovich, Giles, Jackson. This is a young team.
Yeah.
They fly up and down the court. They can pretty much all of them can defend. A lot of them can obviously shoot the three, which is just winning basketball in the NBA compared to the Grizzlies. Yeah, I know it's like we just discussed that the Grizzlies are doing it the right way.
The Grizzlies are the anomaly.
It's like on the spectrum there at the other end, but it's working for them. And it's going to, like, there's no reason to think that it's not going to continue working for them this season. Like, I've been trying to figure out if this is a legit team for like the past month now, the Kings, because they just keep getting decent results and even their losses aren't too bad. Either way, like Sacramento are watching like fun basketball. Sacramento fans are watching like actually fun basketball. And there's like a look to the future being like, all right, this is going to be a team that can compete for the next 5-10 years, potentially, depending on who else they add and who they keep and whatnot. So yeah, just Sacramento fans have been through the ringer with some terrible decisions and players and drama. And it's just like everyone's happy. Like there's no DeMarcus Cousins drama. Like, I know there's been talk about like weird Dave Yeager, like might get sacked, which is like completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But as long as he stays in the job, cause he's just like, that's such an innocent looking dude as well. I'm just happy that he's like, I don't know. He's just like, so whatever. Anyway, Sacramento fans. You are an early winner.
You are winners.
Sorry, is Buddy Hield in the chat for most improved player in the NBA?
I feel like statistically his numbers wouldn't be a big enough jump from one season to the next. Just in terms,
almost 19 points from 13 last year.
I think it's very difficult.
He's been very good.
It's difficult not to give it to LaVine at this point too.
Yeah,
because Zach LaVine's averaging, like, I don't know what is that. He's close to like late 20s.
I really like how he's helped the Bulls win.
But Buddy Hield is like it's weird. They've just had a bunch of young guys like take the next step all at the same time. It's just working.
Some people were ready to write Buddy Hield off. Not as a complete bust, but it's like, okay, we're starting to get an idea of who this guy is. I think he's completely flipped that script.
Yeah.
If he improves as this year goes on and moving forward over the next couple of seasons, because he's still really young. What is he, like 23? And he's like Fox. He's fun to watch.
Yeah,
that Kings team. If some of their big guys as well live up to the expectations that were once on them. So like
before they got to the Kings, yeah.
But either before they got to the Kings, or just before they broke down either physically or mentally. So like Scott Labissiere was at one point a top two player in his draft class.
He was always I remember when he was drafted, and the question was, does this guy love basketball enough to care in the NBA?
Yeah.
And I don't think we've seen that.
I don't know if it's that he doesn't love basketball enough. I think it's just, does it manifest on the court? Does passion manifest on the court? Because it didn't happen at
Kentucky.
But
you know what helps with that? Like winning basketball games. Like it's hard to care when you're a terrible organization and you don't win.
Yeah.
They're winning
hard to
basketball
win when you don't care.
I know.
Okay.
That's really deep.
The other one is Harry Giles, who at one point was the number one player in his high school class before both of his knees just blew out. he went through some really unfortunate stuff there, but he was at one point
10 minutes today too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like he's a talented player.
Mm.
Harrison, your winner.
My winner is any point guard going up against the Boston Celtics this year.
Pew pew pew.
Yeah. So the Celtics have a unbelievable defensive rating, allow 102.1 points per game, but the players that are killing them are point guards. So today they lost to Dallas. Little JJ Barea put up 20 points, 8 assists.
Little JJ Barea. Yeah.
Can't allow that.
Doncic and Matthews also had 30 points between them as well.
Yep. Trey Burke, in their loss to the Knicks a couple of days ago, Trey Burke had 29 and 11.
29, 5 and 11. I remember that. That was a sick game for him.
Kemba Walker, the game before, 43 points.
You know what's weird as well? These are all tiny point guards.
Tiny point guards.
It's like they're almost too small. Like the Celtics are like losing them on the court.
I'll throw in a forgotten point guard as well. Jeremy Lin, 19 points and 10 assists versus Celtics.
I haven't forgotten you, Jeremy.
DJ Augustin had a double-double when they lost to the Magic. Jamal Murray dropped 48. And the Jazz, when they lost to the Jazz, the Rubio and Mitchell backcourt, because I don't know who their primary playmaker is sometimes.
Joe Ingles.
Put up 48 points and 8 assists between them. Kyrie Irving, while he's winning games on his own with his offense, his crap defense is also costing them a lot. And I think when you take Rozier out, who's a bit of a ball hawk and a bit of a dog, and you throw Kyrie Irving in, you lose a lot on defense. And the point guards are lighting up the Boston Celtics this year. And that's something that they need to figure out before playoffs.
So they lost to, was it Mavericks today?
Yeah.
They lost to Dallas today, right. Knicks yesterday.
Both teams are on 500, at 500.
Yeah.
Which is, if you tell me that at the start of the year, after the 20-game mark, that the Celtics would be tied with the Mavs, I would not have believed it.
No.
Because they were everyone's favourite to come out. Yeah. Strong favourite. That team last year making it to the conference finals with the addition of Kyrie and Haywood, well, we expected them to be easily, I don't know, like maybe have 2 or 3 losses at this point of the season. So to see them at 500 at the quarter mark, it's people are talking about it lightly, but it's not as big of a story as I think it deserves to be considering the lofty heights we had them at the start of
the year. And especially the team, like the players that are beating them. It's not what you'd expect.
No.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I like the stat because I like to imagine that some coach is going to put out like a lineup of just like 5'9" point guards. Just drop like, like 150 points on them. But at the same time, we can also say that like defense, as you said, they've got one of the best. I think they're third in defensive rating in the league. I'm not 100% certain. But defense isn't the reason they're at 500. It's their offense. It's so ugly right now.
It is ugly.
It is so ugly. Yeah. So like, yeah, the point guard thing is weird. But like, I don't know, Brad Stevens needs to sort something out because it's like confusing how bad it is.
Their bench looks better than the starters.
It's when so disjointed.
Their starting five have like the second worst or the worst plus minus out of any starting five in the NBA.
Look, we did a stats look in that NBA rundown piece, the same one that we were talking about earlier about the Grizzlies, and they just the stats that the Celtics are putting up, they're pretty much like last or second last in free throws attempted per game. They're not getting to the rim, essentially. They're only taking jump shots. They're not shooting well this year to start the year, at least. I'm sure that will eventually regress to the mean, but like at the moment, they're not getting in the paint and they're only shooting threes and mid-range jumpers. And that's not how you win basketball games. Yeah.
They look poorly coached, which is weird.
Weird, right?
Any chance they're doing the rope-a-dope.
Like playing possum.
Just not like they're not bringing the intensity yet.
Well,
even Stevens.
So then come the playoffs, people will be like, oh, it's just the Celtics. Yeah. And then bang.
I don't know, but they stink is too harsh of a word, but considering.
No, they stink.
Okay.
Their offense. It does stink.
I'm okay with that.
Well, Kyrie Irving unleashed on the team recently, talking about how their veteran leadership is really letting them down.
Oh, we need a 13 or 14 year old.
That was strange. You are Al a veteran, Horford, but now. Also like that's like, a shot at Al.
And you left the
there is no one else.
And you left the best 13 year veteran in the NBA.
Yeah,
like,
take responsibility, mate.
The rest of his lineup is 20. What are you expecting them to do? You are the veteran. You need to step up.
Plus, you hit the game winner, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you are the guy.
Yeah, you are
the guy. That's why he left Cleveland, because he wanted to be the guy. He was never going to be the guy with LeBron. It's like, okay, time to be the guy.
Mm. My winner.
What a sook.
I kind of want to change my winner, because when we mentioned JJ Barea, I Wikipedia'd him, and he's been in relationships with two different Miss Universes.
So, do you reckon he has a type?
Like, you have to be, if you're just Miss Puerto Rico, it's like, no. You've got to be Miss Universe Puerto Rico. It's different. He is one of my winners, I guess, just in life. Yep. Big ups to you, JJ. My other winner, it's split between John Horst, who's the GM of the Bucks, and Masai Ujiri, who leads the way for the Raptors.
Sure.
As far as the best off-season decision. So is it either bringing Bud on to create a system around this really talented Bucks team, or is it Masai Ujiri for taking a leap and getting Kawhi Leonard?
I'll let you know if Kawhi re-signs.
Yeah, I think you...
Do you think that's a bit early?
Yeah.
He's taken the punt because it looks like he's put Kawhi in the best possible position to succeed and maybe see that there's a future in this city.
I think what the Raptors have done is great. I just think you can already say that the Bucks are legit, and like the decision making worked 100%. Whether or not they drop off a little bit,
probably will for
it'll carry on. Yeah. Like, it was the right decision to be made. There's situations you can kind of see the Raptors not working. Like, if Leonard he's done some strange stuff over the past year.
Yeah.
If he just decides, all right, sorry guys, like second half of the season, I'm gonna just keep myself fit and healthy until free agency. Like, we don't actually know.
No.
Right now though, it's great.
No wrong answers though.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Options, because I'm not old enough to remember the entire history of the Raptors franchise, but I'm pretty sure this is the closest they've been to a legitimate shot at winning a championship. Because getting to the finals, even when they had the best record in the NBA last year, it was a false record.
Yeah.
We knew they weren't going to go through the Cavs.
Yeah.
And, you know, four blot proves it. So, yeah, no wrong answers. Even if they make the finals this year and Kawhi leaves, I think it's worth a shot, because, you know, what did you really hope from that Raptors team last year?
Oh, absolutely.
We're two years away from winning the NBA championship? No way.
Yeah.
You know, so to give themselves a realistic chance at some proper hardware, it's a good call by both GMs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the losers.
Loser?
Ted, hit us up with yours first.
Well, it's you and you and you, because it's almost it's almost everyone.
All right.
Almost everyone.
I feel attacked.
All right, can we?
Okay, to clarify. you guys are winners in my mind. Thanks. I said almost everyone because almost everyone, not just in this room, not just in this country, but almost everyone wanted the Jazz to go well this year because the Joe Ingles. Right, everyone likes Joe.
But Joe's lovely.
Even in the US, a lot of pundits had the Jazz finishing as high as second in the West. They still might make a charge late, but they have been disappointing this year. They've let everyone down. And
not me. I saw this coming. I'll just say that.
You did not.
Yes, I did. Go back. Listen to the preview pod. I said, I don't know why everyone's getting so hyped up about the Jazz.
For context, at this point of the season, not second in the West, they're second last.
Gardy hasn't explained it, but he hates Joe Ingles for some reason.
Whoa, I love Joe Ingles.
Do you hate Australia?
Harrison hates Joe Ingles.
Definitely a racial.
Okay. Okay. Wait, jeez. I've got some numbers before we turn this into a racial podcast. They are down on field goal percentage. They're down 3-point percentage. They're down on free throw percentage, and a large part of that is because the two guys that we associate strongly with this team, Joe Ingles and Donovan Mitchell, they're both down. Ingles from three, 38% this year. That's down from 44. Field goal percentage is down. Free throw percentage, Ingles is shooting 62% from the line this year.
Damn.
That's bad.
I'd like to look at his numbers though, because how often does Joe Ingles get to the line is an actual question. But yes, that's like
it's a weird thing. Enough sample size at this point.
Yeah.
He calls himself the best shooter in the world. I don't think so, Joe.
So and Donovan Mitchell, you know, the term gets thrown around for a reason: sophomore slump. Donovan Mitchell is down on every statistical category: 3 points, field goals, free throws, assists, and points per game. if it's kind of funny, the chat last year with Donovan Mitchell was, does he deserve the Rookie of the Year over Ben Simmons? It wasn't because Mitchell was a better player. It was because he thought he was more of a rookie than Simmons
like
was.
Like a legitimate rookie.
Yeah, because if Simmons was down on every statistical category and if the Sixers were below 500, it would be a massive story. Everyone would be smashing Ben Simmons, but with Donovan Mitchell, no one's even really talking about how much of a slump he's in, which kind of represents the true trajectory of the careers of these two players.
Mm.
Right, the ceiling is so much higher. There's so much expectations and pressure on Ben Simmons. So if he failed like Mitchell is, it'd be a story. But with Mitchell out at Utah, they're just a disappointment for almost everyone.
Yeah, a lot of it just comes down to Donovan Mitchell's a scorer, right? So he's...
Well, you'd like to score more points than your rookie year, though.
Totally. So, but he's averaging 20.6 a game, which just on its face looks good. So it's
inefficient.
Totally, but it's just an easy way to avoid the conversation.
Mm.
And to avoid the whole sophomore slump thing, just being like, I'm averaging 20 a game. Like, it's completely fine.
29% from 3 points.
Again, that's objectively not good.
Yeah.
Sorry, Donovan.
And this is... might be kind of irrelevant, and like I've no doubt that Donovan Mitchell's going to be a really good NBA player for the rest of his career. However, like last season did kind of seem like everything was going right for him. You'd watch him pull up for shots and you'd be like, nah, that's not going in. And then it would just kind of go in. And I just feel like that's just not, he's just not riding that wave that he was on in his rookie year last season. This time around, he's taking really bad shots and then he's doing this thing where it's like, nah, I got that Kobe mentality, that Mamba mindset. I'm just going to keep shooting. I'm going to keep getting it up. Yep. And it's like, nah, you have like really good players around you. Like you can
really
use
good
them.
Players.
You can use them. Like the Jazz are one of the deepest rosters in the NBA.
Yep.
They don't play winning basketball when he puts up 30 shots.
Where was he drafted? Like mid range, first round,
13 or 14.
Yeah, and the reason why he made such a jump from where college had set his expectations to his rookie season was how much work he put in the off season.
Yeah.
Like not a direct quote, but something he said was, well, the reason why I've improved so much is because instead of going to class, I'm playing basketball every single day. Now, compare that to this to the off-season just passed. It was kind of like a Donovan Mitchell summer tour over there. Like he was popping up on all the sports morning shows, the afternoon shows, going to games of other sports, just being a public figure. And I get that because if you're out at Utah and you want to build a brand, best get out of Utah. Right? So I can see what he was – I can see – the purpose behind it, but you know, when you're down on every statistical category from the season before, at the quarter mark of the season, maybe you should have put in a bit more work like you did the year before.
Can I also say, so in college, Donovan Mitchell wasn't a great 3-point shooter. Like he was good enough. He wasn't great. Even last year, he shot 34% from downtown. Yeah. That's not that good.
Yeah.
That's really not that good.
Nope.
Again, he's down to 29.2%. Again, that's worse. But he's never been – like we knew he wasn't an efficient shooter, especially from downtown, where he was never really that great. So I think like maybe our expectations were just really inflated for some reason. I'm not sure why.
It ties into what Guardy was saying about last season, watching Donovan Mitchell. You're watching him dominate some games, and you're like, are you going to do this for your whole career?
Yeah.
Because he looks special, and I'm sure – and he still is, right?
He's going to be a very good
player
for a very long
Mitchell.
Time.
Yeah, not at all. But I'm just saying that, like the Jazz last year, like Mitchell, it seems like the honeymoon period's over, and they need to start sort. It's defense as well. Did Gobert win the Defensive Player of the Year last year?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Well, now they have one of the worst defenses in the NBA. The Stifel Tower said it's because of some of the rule changes. He thinks they're affecting the Utah Jazz more than any other team, but
they're a very physical team. And when it comes to restricting movement and stuff off ball, it's an excuse. It's not a good one.
A bad excuse.
Yeah, but also like, when two of your best scorers are down from the field, that's probably got more to do with it.
Yeah, I feel like we also don't want to see what Quinn Snyder looks like when he has a meltdown. So like, hopefully they can get back to winning ways because I'm worried about what that looks like.
Yeah,
the eyes, the eyes will pop out.
Before we move on, Donovan Mitchell is a good comparison potentially for him, Monte Ellis.
Ooh.
Oh, lost Monte.
I feel like we shouldn't be too too low on Donovan just yet.
Monte Ellis, his career high as far as points per game was 25.5 a game.
You take that.
Yeah,
but people were talking about Mitchell last season. Like, I know.
Shoots around the same. Like, I just statistically, this looks very similar.
Yeah, it's just like last year the comparison was Dwayne Wade.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly my point. Yeah.
Gutty, who's your loser?
All right. Away from the basketball court. Well, not entirely away. Away from basketball. Emerging halftime acts, because Red Panda is
not emerging, by the way. Red Panda's
No.
You totally.
No, the ones that are trying to get in.
Okay, yes.
They're knocking at that door. And Red Panda's
not
there.
Not Red Panda's door. She's just all
like seven balls on her head and her arms stuck out being like, uh-uh. I own this. She's flawless this year, and she has been. I mean, she's made her mistakes in the past. It's not. But this season, she has been incredible, and she continues to be the best halftime act in the NBA, potentially in all world sport. And, like, tough luck if you've got an act where you're, like, throwing... I don't know.
Frisbees to dogs.
Yeah, maybe. Sure.
So those.
She's a white lady, right?
Yeah.
Sure. So those. So your loser are those who are trying to break into the.
Yes, those that are watching and waiting for her to fall or drop a bolt. It ain't happening.
Nope.
Not anytime soon.
One of the best experiences was being in our office when non-NBA or non-basketball people were watching the TV with us and watching Red Panda and going crazy. Because they've never seen it before.
It is so impressive.
Up with Red Panda, I put the amazing Sladek. He's a chair. He's a chair dude.
Sure.
The Simon Says guy is also really, really good. Not enough people have seen him, but he controls Simon Says like a boss. The other one who we all saw in the office was the dude who's he can balance on lots of things, and he also has the tiny dog.
The tiny dog.
He was on the starters the other day. Does anyone? What do you reckon she's on, Red Panda?
Do you know?
Yeah.
Ooh. Like 5,000 a game? I'd pay her 5,000 a game.
It's a bit much.
Oh,
actually, 3,500 Well, 5,000 Australian.
There we go. She'd be getting flown around though, right?
Imagine what would be on her like celebrity rider for before the game. She'd request some weird stuff.
Halftime breaks are not that long. $3,500 for that. We're in the wrong industry.
So impressive.
Yeah.
Like,
do you think she's a diva, Harrison?
I reckon. She would be a diva.
My water has to be 20 degrees. No, I need some WD-40 with me. Like,
needs to be around 76. Yeah, I reckon
she deserves the world,
mate. She's a master of patience and composure. I doubt anything ruffles her feathers.
That's true.
That's fair. Two sides.
My story with her is. I was once at an LSU game where Ben Simmons was like the talk of the town, so he was on ESPN a lot. She was at that game. I then flew to Cleveland like 2 days later to watch the Lakers versus the Cavs. It was Kobe's last game at the Q. She was also there. She was also at the All-Star game when I went. So she's got the main.
And that's what I mean when I say it's tough to catch a break in that industry when you've got Red Panda dominating.
That's almost $11,000. That's amazing, dude.
That's nothing. Imagine when she gets in like private shows. Like, I reckon there's some like eccentric affiliate. Not what I meant. I have nothing but respect.
Some like Saudi Arabian prince just, I want unicycle Chinese
some,
lady.
Some eccentric billionaire flying her out to like Abu Dhabi for some event.
I'm sure it's happened. As if that hasn't happened.
If you're a company that's like making bowls.
Yeah.
I mean, get on it. Here's a free tip. Get Red Panda in your newest advertising campaign.
Whew. Harrison, who's your loser the quartermark of the NBA season?
If it's basketball, that would be great.
Basketball. Yeah. So let's jump back into that world.
Sorry.
Okay, so there was a fair bit of talk in the preseason about where Kemba will end up, teams that are looking to buy low on the semi or all-star point guards. If that was you, if you wanted to buy Kemba low, you missed out. You're a loser. He is averaging 28.6 points per game, 6.4 assists, 4.2 rebounds, shooting 46% from the field. And he actually made the Charlotte Hornets entertaining to watch on League Pass, which I had no intention of watching. But with him and that rookie that hates basketballs, Charlotte is fun to watch.
Big leap. Oh, really only 22 points per game last year, 28, like you said, this season. Yeah.
Bit of a down year last year.
Yeah. And shooting 46% with his size and scoring as much as he is, that's huge. That's
He's 6 foot on the dot, right?
Yeah.
Well, super shoes, generous, yeah.
Yeah, that's super impressive. Yeah. This is like the perfect example of how to do a contract year.
Yeah. Yeah. Cardiac Kemba.
He's jacking up 10. He's jacking up 10 threes a game.
Yeah. Not hitting many of them.
38%.
Yeah.
If you,
it's good enough.
That is good enough.
Yeah. And enough. You look at that roster and there's not a lot of scorers there. So he's like getting all the attention. And he's still scoring efficiently enough for them to, I mean, I don't see them really getting too, I mean, I think they'll hover around that like 8, 9, 10 spot in the East, potentially like.
Oh,
up they're not going to move the needle.
Kemba Walker is. I'm
he's
fan.
Either getting paid or Charlotte.
I've got a jersey.
He's getting something for him. So
I remember when Guardy was very hesitant on getting the Kemba Walker jersey because it was at that time.
There were trade talks.
The trade talks. Very explicit trade talks.
Mm. And he did it anyway.
He did it anyway. And he's so far, I think it's worked out.
It's paid off.
It's obviously worked out.
When I wear it down the street, all the kids say, hey.
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy? Stop talking.
Oaks, up to you, mate. Who's your loser?
My loser is Raymond Brothers.
Okay. Oh, Brothers chat again.
I said we don't have to touch too much on it, but just he's the agent / lawyer of Mark Helfultz.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if he wants to put his client in the best situation to be a successful player and human, I just think he's gone about it the very wrong way. As far from both like an on-court perspective, as far as putting his client in the best position to succeed on the court, and then off the court, as far as controlling the narrative around his client. The narrative around Marco Fultz is only negative. And on the court, it's been mostly negative. I just think if you're an agent of the number one overall pick, you probably should do a better job at controlling your mans.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's like, you know, these days, coaches and managers, they can't just be like a hard and tough. They can't take the hard and tough approach like the 80s and before that. You need to approach every player with the mindset of how do I get through to this player? Like that's what that agent needs to do with Fultz. Like what is the best way? What is the best way I can help? And it's clearly like a hug or something.
It's a really big comforting hug.
He does. Like when Jamal Crawford was tickling him on the sideline.
Oh, he was so happy.
That look, he was the happiest he's ever been.
In the NBA.
Since
draft night.
Yep. He was just, if you didn't see it, go find it. It's just Jamal Crawford tickling Marco Fultz.
Here's a question. Say you were put in charge of turning around the Marco Fultz PR image. How would you do it?
Ooh, it's a very good question. I would do a big old sit-down interview with Rachel Nichols immediately.
Love her.
Because she's extremely likable. Exhibit A.
Yeah.
And I just think instead of having so many people talk for you and trying to keep everything, you know, secluded and different reporters are reporting different things because different people are feeding them different information.
Sure.
I think you should let your client speak for himself.
Yeah.
Because what he's going to say is not going to be worse than what's already out there.
I don't know if taking it more seriously would help, and a Rachel Nichols sit-down is usually pretty serious. I'd probably go the other way and try and get him involved in some kind of advertisement where he's taking the mickey out of himself. Like, you know, like something with the
hot potato thing.
Yeah. Hot potato. Yeah, you know, like something like a microwave food, like a hot pocket. Yeah. You get it out of the microwave.
That's so good. Yeah,
into someone's mouth.
Yeah. Okay. I try and make light of it because laughter cures a lot of things, and it could cure the negative image he's got. Because there's no laughter with Marco.
It's weird because we don't normally take this kind of approach with struggling players. Like normally people are like, oh, I hope he kind of figures it out. Yeah. Everyone's like getting sick of the Markel Fultz stuff now, like as a person.
Not even his fault.
It's not. You know? Well, I mean,
he's a funny guy too, but no one knows it.
No one knows.
That sucks.
He doesn't put the cameras there. He doesn't write the stories. He garners attention for whatever reason, but he didn't ask for the situation he's in, I can guarantee you that.
I just think if you're an NBA player, you know what you're walking into.
Yeah.
You know that it's very tough. I think you go the Donald Trump approach, as in just avoid the media.
Everyone's trash.
So no, as in from the sense of avoid the media, get your own message out there.
Yeah.
I feel like it can be somewhere in between our two ideas. I feel like that's the best way to do it.
Both. Side note on that, is Rachel Nichols going to finish her career above Doris Burke?
No.
And look, no.
Different people.
This is coming from the biggest Doris Burke fan. No, I'm just because Nichols has got a long time left.
I once brushed Doris Burke's leg. She walked past me in Chicago once.
Was that nice?
She just brushed past me, and it was really cool because it was my first day in Chicago, and I had never seen anyone like famous before.
No, I think
like
Doris ago. Burke is next level. Rachel's got a long way to go to reach Doris Burke.
She does.
Yeah.
Unlucky Rachel.
She has time though.
I think they're different. They're different people. Rachel Nichols is a journalist. Doris. Okay, but not just literally. Doris Burke's not a journalist.
No, I know they have but Doris Burke is probably the most loved like female whatever in the game.
In
like whatever you want to call it, journalist, broadcaster, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, is Rachel Nichols on the path to...
No. Well, I think Rachel Nichols can never be a trailblazer because...
No, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
I reckon Rachel and Erin Andrews are just going to compete for second and Doris Burke is just going to dominate.
I mean, talking second, you can't forget about Jackie McMullen. I love McMullen.
Yeah. She's the OG.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they, as far as Rachel Nichols, Erin Andrews, they set the bar as far as hosting and doing.
Nichols is excellent.
Yeah, she's excellent. Brilliant.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I like that she sits next to like two ex-NBA players, but it's her that gets the monologue at the start with the opinion. No, it's awesome. It's 100%. Awesome. It's something that this country should probably, like Australia, don't do it. Their whole thing is like, we need ex-professionals to have an opinion.
Why do we want to put the focal point on communication when we're working people?
Seriously.
Tara Rushton does a pretty good job.
Yeah,
I feel like that should be the
prototype, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. She's almost the anomaly.
Yeah,
and she's extremely good at her job. I think.
Yeah, well, you look at ESPN in the US and you know other sports media companies of that ilk. The onus is always on presenters that can communicate. That's the integral part. We don't worry about that in this country.
No, I agree.
Yet.
I feel like that's a nice place to end.
That is.
A bit of media criticism and media just acknowledging nice media around.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good thing. I feel like we contribute to that as well.
Sometimes.
This has been League Pass and Chill. Harrison's giving me the rap. If you haven't already, head to Apple Podcasts, head to your favorite podcast place, subscribe, rate, review, all the good stuff. You know what to do. This has been League Pass and Chill. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
See you guys.